It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Well, 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 we have made it to that time of the week where we head to the medal podium and give out a game ball. The judges have spoken, held up their scores. People have sat in the kiss and cry room and gotten their results on the big screen. And now it is that moment where one lucky winner gets a fictitious prize. It does matter, though. It matters on this show because the game ball gets given out every week, the Fox Across America game ball, to someone I believe embodied the spirit of the show. It's sometimes in a way that made me laugh, sometimes in a way that informed me, hipped me to some fun fact or truth that I hadn't quite considered during my time on the air. This week's winner did a little bit of all of that. He, of course, the co-host of America's Newsroom, the host of the Hammer Time podcast, the great Bill Hammer. Make your way up to the podium and accept this game ball because Hammer was hilarious. He got here right as the interview was going live, which is what everybody does if they're in the building, but he was held hostage by a slower elevator. We have those here at Fox. Why? Because everyone's come back to work. So a lot of us got really spoiled during the pandemic. There were like 5 of us in the building, and you had an elevator whenever you wanted one. It's like the difference between trying to catch a taxi when it's sunny out and trying to catch a taxi when it's rainy out. When it's sunny, you hold your hand up and 33 people crash into each other trying to pull up. When it's rainy out, you hold your hand up for 3.5 hours and then you finally quit and walk because all the cabs are spoken for. That's how the elevator game is post-pandemic. They're crowded again. It takes a while to get around the building. So me and Hammer started on a pretty good laugh about that and then just dove into all things politics, but a very honest assessment of Joe Biden and will he or won't he as it pertains to 2024. Of course, right now, the question surrounding Joe Biden is his health, pertaining to COVID-19 and the recent diagnosis. We, of course, wish him the best of luck on that. No matter how many jokes we tell about Biden on the air, there's no world where any of us is signing up for a Kamala Harris presidency. So best of luck to Joe Biden. And to Bill Hammer, congratulations. You did it. A true career highlight. Get down to the dock, Billy boy. Your ship is sailing in. The Fox Across America game ball goes to you.
I would have been here sooner, but the elevators take longer. Have you noticed?
They're not your friend here.
Yeah. No, they were your friend during when yeah. nobody was
when
in
there was
the
nobody
dark.
In the building.
Yeah, right.
But now we don't know how to budget for time.
I agree.
And if you ever do this now, this is fatal now. There used to be a time in this building where you could get in and hit the wrong floor, meaning I'm coming to 15, but I hit 1. You know
okay,
what I mean? I'd
okay,
go to 1,
yeah.
and I'd be like, oh, what a dummy. Let me get back in. Now that elevator's coming, it's like an Uber.
Right.
Like, you know, Frank will be here in a Toyota Sienna in 12 minutes.
Yeah.
You're like, what do you mean? My show starts in 3.
How about this one?
Uh-huh.
You know, they have Fox Business on and
oh,
all the
yeah.
elevators here.
Mm-hmm.
And I love business news.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm kind of a geek for it,
okay.
right? So they'll be telling a story during COVID. I just can't get out of the elevator. So, Jimmy, I just wait there, and the elevator never leaves the floor. And then when the segment's over, the interview's done, and mm-hmm. I just hit door open, and I just
well, that's funny.
Those days are gone, bro.
Because at least you can get out. I've also been on the receiving end of this when I couldn't open the door, and someone gets in, and they're like, oh, so you just live in an elevator. I get it. This guy's a squatter. This guy's an elevator squatter.
Yes.
We've been having a very spirited conversation around inflation and gas and everything in between. The question I have for you, Bill Hammer, what was your first car?
My first car is easy.
Ooh.
It was a 1973 pea green Gran Torino.
Ladies.
It was $625.
Wow.
We sold it a year later for $525.
Okay.
2 months into ownership, we realized the rear wheel hubs had been the rust had been painted over. And it was time for the paint to fall off.
Oh, no.
And it was a mess. We put a $700, you know, we're kids.
Yeah, uh-huh.
We put a $700 stereo mm-hmm. in a $625 car. And that thing, we had the power amp. We had big speakers.
Oh, yeah, you did.
That they weren't mounted like the cool kids had.
Yeah.
They laid on the back seat. And that back seat was huge.
Yeah, those were boats. Yeah. Those were battleships back then.
Yeah, what was yours?
A Torino. Wow, I had a Chrysler LeBaron. I know nobody likes a show-off, but I had a it actually, like, it was interesting because it prepared me well for cab driving in that the LeBaron I got had such a bad alignment situation. It was missing a bearing in the steering column. And so I had to turn right to turn left. And it was interesting because when I became a cab driver later in life, you never knew what you were getting when you jumped in, whether it was the quality of the car or the dinner somebody left behind or, heaven forbid, some transaction, some illicit vice that took place in the back seat. You know, you got to play the teams on the schedule in cab driving.
Exactly.
There was always a formidable opponent waiting for you before you even started the car. You know,
that's good.
So I got it. Well, one of the reasons we were talking
about,
you had
to turn right before you could go left.
So this is the deal. This is what you actually had to do.
Yes.
You had to spin the wheel right to center the steering to go left. Does this make sense?
Now it does.
How this car passed inspection.
Your alignment sucked.
It was the worst. Well, we got it at one of those like used car dealers on Hillside Avenue where they gave you a two-hour, two-mile warranty.
Yeah.
Like, no, we cover the whole car. We got a warranty. But they never tell you the length of the warranty.
Yeah.
It's the minute you leave. The minute your check clears.
I bet you looked handsome behind
that. I did all right. You know what I mean? I didn't quite have your speaker system, but we got a lot done.
Something else. Here comes Hammer.
Well, there's nothing like those moments, those first moments of adult autonomy when you're in a car without parental oversight and you're just out in the world. And I keep thinking, as you know, we deal with gas prices and stuff, none of us ever approach it from that standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about how it affects drivers and all of that. No one ever talks about the 18-year-old who just wants to blare whatever Hammer was blaring.
Right.
I don't know what you were blaring
in
that
then
era.
I mean, it was hard rock and
it was right?
Rush and it was Springsteen and... Mm-hmm. I mean, it was the sound of the day.
You were doing all
American
stuff.
It wasn't quite Sammy Hagar, but I mean, we were in the same area code.
But it was, you know, no one ever talks about their plight, Hammer. That's one of my big concerns. And when I hear something like, you know, I was watching Kirby, climate change is an emergency, and Mayor Pete saying, well, you know, the high gas prices, I mean, it's just another benefit to the people like us who have a green energy vehicle, EV, there's an indifference. There's an indifference to everybody, but we never discuss the indifference to high school kids. In your opinion, are they showing a little indifference here by not offering a now solution?
I must confess that, you know, it's a consideration I really haven't given a lot of time to, and I should.
Maybe.
Right? I mean, if I was 16, 17 years old, I mean, it's taking a big chunk out of my wallet.
Oh, yeah. If they doubled gas prices when you were 16.
Doubled?
When I was 7. I mean, it would have cut down on my drinking. That's the good news. But, I mean, that's another story.
I wasn't much of a drinker.
No. Well, that's why. No.
Until I got out of college.
That's why you're hosting America's Newsroom.
No, I mean,
I'm hanging out here.
No, until I got out of college, then things changed. And let me tell you, Jimmy.
Put up the numbers.
That Gran Torino was split three ways between my brother and my oldest sister.
Wow.
$200 each.
Get out of town.
Then my sister goes to college 3 months later, and she says, I need you guys to buy me out. I need the money. I'm like, where was the foresight there? So we had to chuck up $100 each.
Oh, there was no like Twitter lawsuit or anything where we tried to pull out of the deal and one of the owners was a bot. As it turned out, there were only two of us.
It was amicable.
Bill Hemmer is in studio, elevator enthusiast, Gran Torino owner. We're talking cars. We're talking climate.
It was a good looking car.
When I hear it's a climate emergency, that to me sounds like they're trying to just weaponize whatever power they have to get done whatever they can. You know what the tail end of this year reminds me of heading into the midterms?
Tell me.
Remember those game shows where they had a shopping spree?
Mm-hmm.
They gave you 5 minutes.
Oh, so
you had to get as much in the cart as you could, but whatever got in the cart, you kept. With the minimal majority they have and the minimal control and window they have left to exercise it, I feel like I'm watching a far-left shopping spree.
Wow.
With they're going to try to stuff some climate emergency into
that's
the car.
That's good. I think the only way it happens is by executive order. I don't know what they're going to do. I read deeply on this earlier today, and the debate at the White House seems to be, what can we do and what can we get away with?
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, we put a poll on the air during our program this morning that I'm sure you watched with Dana and me.
Religiously.
Among the top issues in the recent New York Times poll, climate change had 1%.
That's crazy.
Among Democrats, it had 3%. I was like, is this right?
They just
in the Times? I ask you, what will they do? What will they get done? I think it's the same thing on the abortion issue.
Yep.
I think they're trying to craft something that will stand the test of time legally.
Yeah.
And that's the holdup right now. Yeah. They're talking about abortion pills, and maybe that happens or maybe it doesn't. But the climate thing only makes sense to me in the following way, Jimmy. Mm-hmm. It's July, and you know what? It's going to be hot.
Yep.
It's going to be hot this July. It's going to be hot next July.
Yep.
It's going to be hot 10 Julys from now, all right? It's called summer. I have to think that Democrats raise a lot of money when they go out and hold events that talk about the climate.
Yep.
And I think that's why it happens.
Yep.
And the far left will jump on that bandwagon all the time.
All day. But when I hear things, because I agree, but when I hear things like, oh, we might do it through executive order, what kind of power do we have? We're really getting to a dumb place in the country. What I mean by that is an adage in sports, they would say, you know, inconsistency is the hallmark of a bad team. If every time we trade power in this country, someone's going to pick up a pen and just rewrite the direction of the country, it puts us on a very inconsistent path. It puts us on the path of a bad team. I believe it was Joe Torre who used to say that.
Is that right?
Yeah, old Joe Torre. He'd give you a quote once in a while.
Oh, come on.
It wasn't like Jeter, because Jeter didn't answer questions. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He just said, well, what do you think of the Red Sox this weekend? Well, you know, we just want to play good ball.
Yeah, stay within myself.
Yeah, no bulletin board material.
Yeah, that's interesting. Look, I think Trump did it a lot.
Yes, he did.
I think Obama did it a lot. My recollection on Bush is not as good on that topic as perhaps it should be. Mm-hmm. But I think the last 12, 14 years of the executive branch of government, they've been governing by way of executive order, and both sides are guilty.
Yes, absolutely. And I just think we're in a bad spot with that. As far as the Bush thing goes, if only you knew somebody who worked for him who was willing to talk about it on TV.
Can you give me a minute? I can text.
If you want a drinking game, you do a shot every time Dana says George Bush or I say taxi, you'd be in bad shape by the end of a day on the
That's
Fox.
Right. That's right.
Bill Hemmer's in the house. Let me throw this one at you. We're just handicapping now. This is just sports talk radio.
Okay.
We're going back to the old days. The early edition Hemmer. This is in the Hemmer box set.
This is
like the first compact disc. It is. Let's be honest. Just give me Vegas odds, real Vegas odds, Biden runs in 2024.
Today?
Yeah.
51-49.
Okay, that he does run.
Today, yes.
Is there a part of you that says that?
Because, by the way, that wasn't 52-48.
Yeah.
I mean, I can put it at 50.5 and 49.5 if you want.
Yeah.
But as of today, I think it's...
I don't think there's anywhere where he's running, but I think we respect
you
the
say
dignity.
No?
Of the, no chance. Zero. I think he's zero chance. You know what it is? When I look at... There's two things. The polling within the party that we've all covered extensively, but the bigger tell to me is when I hear David Axelrod say it's time to step aside. Yeah. When David Axelrod's talking, you know, Obama's lips are moving. It's like a ventriloquist act. Mm. You know, that's Obama's top strategist. So if Axelrod's openly saying anybody else 2024, I get the feeling the Martha's Vineyard crowd doesn't have the Delaware Rehoboth Beach crowds back. Do you get that feeling?
I get that feeling. That's right. It's just a short helicopter ride away. If you've been paying attention for the last month, there's a portion of the Democratic Party that has certainly turned on Biden.
Yep.
There's no question about it.
Yep.
They were running cover for him for a year and a half, including the chaos in Kabul and everything that came from that. But that has changed. And not every circle, but a lot of them.
Yep.
And, you know, finally it was the New York Times that jumped on board, Politico, Washington Post. I thought those were your three biggies.
Yep.
When they start writing pieces with quotes from anonymous people, then you know the tide has turned.
That's up.
And I really thought 2 weeks ago, the front page story by Peter Baker, that was like, okay, we're done, and we're looking for names.
Something's happening.
And what
here.
An insult it would! I mean, if I were Biden and I was on the South Lawn of the White House, and a reporter said, "Mr. President, what do you think about that poll that said all these Democrats don't want you to run?" And he turned and said, "That's not what it said, Jack." Now, I probably would not have said Jack. However, I may have reacted with a level of vigor and enthusiasm that would have simply rejected the poll and its findings, which is what he did. Mm-hmm. I don't know what he's thinking inside, but when you go overseas and a young governor from California flies across country and makes a decision to go to the White House when the president is overseas, he wasn't in Scranton, Jimmy.
No,
he was overseas.
Yeah.
So in between the White House and the old executive office building, the Eisenhower building, there's a driveway. And typically when you want to sneak in or go in subtly or make no grand entrance, what you would do is drive up that driveway, enter the side door into the White House. Mm-hmm. And what the photographers do, they're perched up on this place called Pebble Beach. Mm-hmm. And so they would train their lenses on a zoom and catch you for about a 2 second walk.
Okay.
It's like one, two strides and then boom, you're in frame, you're out of frame.
Okay.
And that's what you get. You slow it down or you take a still picture. Gavin Newsom made a decision to walk toward the front of the building, wave to the photographers, right?
Yep.
And enter the door that the Marine Guards guard. That took donuts.
And if I'm not mistaken, he walked out with his jacket off over his shoulder.
A little bit of that.
I mean, the only thing missing was a tape measure for the drapes, no?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was a definite sign. Unless or a definite signal or... Call it what you like.
And when I hear, you know, these conversations that they have met back channel with fundraisers out in L.A., Newsom and Kamala, they don't do that on speculation. They're not showing up saying, hey, if this guy doesn't run, would you like to donate? They're showing up saying, give me money.
My logic is, I don't know what yours is, but you'll tell me after this. Biden doesn't want to give up the reins. I can't blame him, but there are a lot of people trying to push him aside.
Yep, it's
and
coming.
They're trying to... force him to make a decision. And for them, the sooner, the
yeah,
better.
Of course. Well, to the point of sports strategy, this is what I would say. And I think looking back, this will be the fatal flaw of at least this term. He could have put some distance between himself and the crises by firing advisors. Like Afghanistan should have resulted in a firing or two, with a minimal maybe a milli. Okay, the same thing when it comes to inflation. Okay, there are firings. You fire Powell, somebody like that. You put at least a little distance between yourself and the things dragging you down in the polls. Because right now, I think their refusal to own failure flies in the face of everyone else's eyes, like Afghanistan. Selling that as a success really discredited him. He was above water in the polls before Afghanistan.
It was close.
He was close.
My reading of the polls were in the summer of 2021, and you can look at the chart, June to July, things start going south.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that we're going that way because of COVID.
Okay.
He came in to kill COVID, and...
Away it went. New variants.
Other thing is that he was exposed in a way that he had not been before, and that is, can you defend your own policies? Can you defend your own ideas? And when he lacked that ability, people started saying, whoa, what's up here? And that's when the chart starts to go south. And then mid-August is where they eventually went and have not come back since. That's the way I see it.
It is a mess. Having said all of that, do you want to lower those odds to like 48-52?
No, I'm not today. I don't. You know, I just don't want to get ahead of the story.
No, I agree. I agree 100%.
Now, you can get ahead of the story.
No.
Your Chrysler LeBaron or what was it?
It was a Chrysler LeBaron. Yeah. We did have some steering issues.
Handsome.
But I will have you know the alignment on this show is just fine, Bill Hemmer.
I see.
That is going to do it for Fox Across America's Game Ball presentation ceremony. Happy Saturday, everybody. If this wasn't enough fail for you, there's a Gutfeld replay coming up at 7. You'll see me on Neil Cavuto's show this weekend as well. And then we're back here to do the damn thing again on Monday. Until then, have the best weekend allowable by law. I'm your main man, Jimmy Failla. See you Monday.
Hey, it's Clay Travis. Join me for Outkick the Show as we dive deep into a mix of topics. New episodes available Monday to Friday on your favorite podcast platform and watch directly on outkick.com/watch.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.